So is this an audience or a mosaic? Hey, how you doing? Looking good. Nice dress.
So Hades, you finally made it. How are things in the underworld?
Well, they're just fine. You know, a little dark, a little gloomy, and as always, hey, full of dead people. What are you gonna do?
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. Baddies.
Hell yeah, baddies.
Welcome back to Next Door Villain. I have a very, very special guest here today, Caitlin Hennigan. Caitlin Hennigan is a Taurus sun. Like me, Scorpio moon, and Leo rising. She is a middle child, and she is an accidental villain.
That is true. All of this
Welcome
is true.
To the show.
Yes, thank you. I'm so excited.
Me too. I'm really excited to have you on the show. We don't have guests very often. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And whenever we do, I just get so excited to pick the guest's brain and learn more about them and hear what they have to say about the character that we're talking about today, which is...
Da-da-da. Hades, how you doing? Lord of the Underworld.
I love that.
I just love his voice.
You sound just like him.
I love everything. Well, I mean, I have sold cars, so I think I got to practice more than the average person.
You think Hades is kind of like a salesman-sounding guy?
Yes. Oh, 100%. I think he shills death.
Right? Because that's what salesmen do?
They're always shilling something.
Yeah. Yes, so we are talking about Hades from Disney's Hercules. We're not going to talk about the version of Hades in mythology, even though I know there are some similarities because Hercules was inspired by, you know, mythology. But the characters are different enough to where I think it's important that we kind of separate those episodes and separate those characters a little bit. Perhaps in the future, Joe and I, or myself and another guest, will talk about Hades from Greek mythology. But for now, we are keeping it Disney version to maintain consistency and understanding. And we are going to do something that Joe and I used to do more of, but not a whole lot of anymore, but we get to do it on this guest episode, is a 30-second challenge, 30-second summary challenge, where both of us try to summarize the character in 30 seconds or less, and you get to vote on who did it better. It's no preparation. We just go. And we try to get in as much or as little information as we want into the 30-second summary to remind you, the audience, as to what the heck happened with Hades in Disney's Hercules. Because if you're like me, it may have been a few years since you've seen Disney's Hercules. I watched it a ton when I was like 8.
This movie was on repeat in my household more than I can say. And my sister just sent me a meme. And I didn't tell her I was doing this. My sister just sent me a meme, my little sister, like 2 days ago, of the McDonald's Hercules dinner plates that they had as like a thing with the Happy Meals. And it was like, you knew shit was going down when these came out. You knew like your meal was going to smash when these came out. And my response was like, yes, the finest china. We both had Pegasus ones because my family had horses growing up. It was like a whole thing. I was obsessed with those plates. I hope to God my parents still have those plates. I hope when my parents die, I get those plates. Like, I'm going to be looking for them. I honestly think mine is still in my bedroom closet at home.
That is like an ancient relic. It's like, it might be worth a lot of money.
I
don't know. That's what they said about VHS, and that didn't happen.
I'd put money on the fact that it's still in my closet, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Next to my mother's Princess Diana plates. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Gotta keep the plates together.
Oh. Gotta steal some stuff from your house. Yeah. Just kidding. I'm not gonna be a thief. Anywho, who would like to go first with this 30-second summary?
I'll go first.
Another thing we can do is after people vote, we can see who lost. And then that person does something as like a punishment. For example, like because I lost the 30-second summary challenge for Harley Quinn, I needed to like run around a building screaming that I liked the Joker. I mean, that's a little bit extreme, but I did it.
I mean, here's the deal. They can just, like, vote for whoever they like, and that person can change their username to, like, Hades, Lord of the Underworld, or something, or, like, coming your most lugubriousness, or, like, something like that for a day on Twitter. How about that? We'll come up with something.
Sounds good.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. On, like, our personal Twitter accounts?
Sure.
Yeah. Or should I do the next door villain? Okay.
Or we could swear fealty to a something.
Swear what?
Swear fealty to Hades, Lord of the Underworld, or something. I don't know.
Yeah. We could even tweet that. Maybe the loser changes their username to, like, Hades, Lord of the Underworld, or Underworld, or something Hades related. And then they tweet, like, all hail Hades, Lord of the Underworld.
Something like that. Well, would the loser be a lord? Would they become Pain and Panic?
Maybe. Maybe instead of being a god.
Yeah, they become Pain and Panic. They have to become both. And then they just have to tweet, coming your most lugubriousness, to, like, James Woods.
Oh, yeah, because they said that.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe it's, yeah, so maybe you change your username to something Pain and Panic related, and then you say, you tweet, like, my whatever they said.
Yes, that's what we're doing. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to count you down to your start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Hades, brother of Zeus. Zeus is the manager of apparently the world and decided that his creepy goth brother was going to be the car salesman of death. And definite anger issues, definite competition issues, and then also weirdly wants to kill his fucking nephew. Odd and strange. So slightly murderous and also really bad at managing his own expectations for his ability to move up on the corporate ladder when he doesn't know how to communicate effectively with others.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Woo! I really like kind of your analogy to, like, corporation and car salesman.
Yeah, you know, I think...
And work.
I think I just work in the auto industry, so I just really associate him with auto sales.
So you really embody him, kind of. Like, you really feel like you are Hades.
No.
No? Okay. No, we'll talk about it later.
I think... We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Count me down.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, so Hades is god of the underworld, and he asks the fates what's going to happen in the future, and they tell him that he is going to be killed or defeated by Hercules when he tries to take over the world. And that's around the time when all the planets align, so it's like a perfect time to get his monsters out and to take over the world, but he has to do that without Hercules being alive, because if Hercules is alive, Hercules is going to, you know, kill him. And so he utilizes Meg and to try and trick Hercules. Doesn't work. Hercules beats him. And the end. Was that 30 seconds?
I forgot about Meg, so great job. Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't really either. I was just like, I was like, that feels right.
I also just had so much practice with the 30-second summaries. I think I did it, like, every episode for, like, 3 years. And I still wasn't always that good.
I think 30 seconds is the right amount of public speaking for me. Here's 30 seconds, go crazy, be like, oh, perfect, then I can just be done immediately.
And then you can talk about any topic at all, because you're, like, motivated to talk, because it's only 30 seconds.
Yeah. Rods and cones in your eyeballs, how you see color, let's go.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect topics. Okay. So, Hades. Tell me, Caitlin. How do you relate to Hades? What do you like about Hades? How do you empathize with him? All of the above. What do you think?
I love Hades for a couple of different reasons. One, I also wear almost all black all the time, or darker colors. You know, it's my palette. So, you know, fashion. Two, I think that sibling rivalry can do a lot if not harnessed appropriately.
Because Hades and Zeus are brothers, right?
Hades and Zeus are brothers. I mean, like, you don't get to see the pantheon in the movie, but, like, there's the big three, which is, like, Hades, Zeus, and Poseidon. And Hades kind of just, like, seems like he doesn't particularly really seem to enjoy the underworld, which I think is interesting because, I don't know, maybe I would like being left alone and not having that much control over the rest of the world, but maybe I wouldn't because I fight everything all the time. I don't know. I think the sibling thing is really interesting to me, and it always has been, but it's also just, like, the concept of light and dark, even though it's a kid's movie, so that's a very easy, like, heavy-handed metaphor. Like, light and dark, you have gold and blue, I guess.
Right.
And, like, I don't know, I've always really liked the sibling rivalry part of it, because I thought it was really interesting, the concept of, like, sibling gods. Because gods are always kind of thought of as their own individual entities, usually. They're not usually siblings. And so, like, that is a really interesting humanistic characteristic to add on to a god.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, even the gods have sibling rivalry. Even they have issues.
Yeah.
It's kind of comforting to see that. Yeah.
Oh, and he's hilarious.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Just a hysterical villain. I think he's just so... Can I swear on this? I already have.
Yes.
But, like, is that fine?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's so fucking funny. I fucking love Hades. He is... I think that funny, evil, like, not manic, like, Joker levels, but, like, actually funny and kind of clever monologuing evil, or, like, not even monologuing evil, but quick, is funny. Like, I think about... the redheaded villain from The Incredibles.
Yeah.
He was funny. I thought he was really funny and very quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, like, normal type of humor, just it just makes him seem very normal.
Yes. I kind of wrote about that, too. How it humanizes him. Because being humorous is a very human quality. And he kind of gets annoyed at things that we would get annoyed at. And he uses humor to kind of show that he's annoyed. Like, he looked at, I think it was, like, Pain or Panic's shoes that were, like, with the Hercules emblem on it. And that's,
what?
Like, his rival. And he's like, what are those?
Those?
Yeah. And, like, we would also be annoyed with our friend or our hench person, I guess, if we have that, you know, wearing our arch nemesis shoes, branded shoes. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
The thing that I always find interesting, too, is, like, Hades seems... ever increasingly irritated all of the time, and then he has anger. He's never really, like, comfortable, complacent, or content. And then you have Zeus, who is, like, oblivious and doesn't give a shit about anything in, like, this awe-inspiring way. And then he's, like, really incredulous, and he also experiences anger, but, like, the humor, the annoyance, and the anger is really all Hades has. But then Zeus has, like, this affable, funny, easy life that's very easy for him to sort of be like, la, nothing is ever wrong. I can do whatever I want. My wife and kid are really great. And he only really has a range when things sort of, like, start to go to shit for him. But Hades kind of always has this thing. And so I always think it's funny because it makes me think about having had jobs everywhere in the world, I feel like, at this point. But being an employee who doesn't see everything, and then having a manager who sees more and, like, is better at choosing their battles, maybe because they're older, they've just done it longer, etc. Wisdom, time, you know, all knowing omniscience in their brain. And it just makes me think of, like, this really disgruntled employee all the time who, like, can't see beyond their own disgruntledness. And then the manager who's just like, it's gonna be fine, Hades, like, just you will yeah. really enjoy being a cashier at some point. Like, you just need to, like, let it go.
Yeah.
Give in to the cashierness of it, okay?
You will really enjoy those souls.
Yeah. Just count them.
Yeah. Just funnel them into the water over there.
Yeah, it like and like the manager's really oblivious to like why this person's really upset. You know what I mean? Like they're just like
yeah.
I don't know why Hades is like so fixated on fixing things that they don't need to fix. They're just a cash. You know what I mean? Like it's just that whole neither one of them sees what's on the other side, and the other one wants to tell the other one to, like, get it together. It just makes me think of that.
I can also understand maybe his disgruntledness, because I feel like Hades does actual work. You see Zeus kind of just, like, eat and sleep, have a baby, party with Athena or whoever, and Hera, I guess Hera's his wife, whatever. And Hades comes in, and he's like, I've got a job to do, you know? Sorry, gotta leave the party. Because he probably, I don't know, you know, he probably like funnels those souls. He has to talk to the Fates ladies, those old ladies with the string. He has to listen to souls moan all the time. Like, how would you feel if you like sat in a chair and you just hear these souls like, or whatever it is? You know, they're just like moaning about their life regrets or something. Possibly, who knows?
I'd fucking lose my mind.
I know.
Ugh, I'd fucking lose my mind. As someone with like auditory stimulation issues, I would whole ass lose my fucking mind. I'd be like, I want to die now, you know? Like, right. I'm tired of dealing with you assholes. Do you hear each other? Because if you don't hear each other, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'll join.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the comedy of him has always been really amusing. It makes me laugh now, even as an adult, because I have watched that movie within the last year, at least twice, because it's on my Disney Plus, and, like, recently watched. I'm definitely someone who knows a lot of movie trivia, because I'm definitely the kid who got a lot of DVDs when I was younger, and I would watch all of the special features. I don't know. There's something about it. Like, Charlton Heston is the narrator in that.
I don't know that.
So that's the voice at the very beginning is Charlton Heston. Yeah, it's weird. He's a little... It's Charlton Heston, but also that's a pretty big deal. And then James Woods is his voice, but I will always remember learning that it was supposed to be a very different role. Like, he was supposed to be super austere and very serious and very scary, like a scary villain, like Frollo or Scar or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be Jack Nicholson.
Interesting.
Is who it was supposed to be. And then Jack Nicholson basically wanted too much from Disney, and Disney's like, no one gets that much. Robin Williams didn't even get that much, so you can fuck off, mate. And then...
Nice.
I'm
glad they didn't give in.
Yeah, well, they're really rigid. Like, they didn't even do it with Robin Williams with Genie, which really pissed Robin Williams off. I don't think he ever did another Disney movie after that.
Oh, dang, I didn't know that.
You know, Disney, notoriously easy to work with, everyone. And... there's a list of other actors that were supposed to do it. So it's like Jack Nicholson. And then they looked at Willem Dafoe, David Bowie, John Lithgow. David Bowie seems like a really interesting pull because his talking voice is a lot more serious than you'd think it would be because he's such a silly looking man. And then James Woods was doing his rounds and auditioning for voices and was just like, they want me to play this like really serious and austere. Why did I get this audition? Who booked me for this? Like, I can't do this. So I'm going to fuck it. I'm doing it like a car salesman. If they're going to ask me to do weird shit and book me for weird shit. And then he did it. And then they were like, actually, that might work. And then they just booked him for it, which I think is hilarious.
Right. I like his voice.
I know, me too.
I don't care for James Woods. And I'm not going to like take the time to explain why he... Yeah, he's been a little feisty. Let's just put it that way. He's been a little problematic these days. But I'm just going to separate the actor from the character and just say I really like the voice. I think it really suits Hades.
Yeah, the voice is great.
So one way that I've kind of been like this villain in a vague, strange way, in a way that I've been like Hades, in part of the movie... Hades goes to the Fates, the three ladies, and he like begs to know the future. Which I was like, oh, that's great. You know, like it's important to know your future. Like if you have the ability to see it, like go for it, because then you can plan. You can really get to know what to prepare for, which he did. He tried really hard to prepare for what could possibly happen in the future and what the Fates saw. And so have you ever gone to like the Renaissance Festival in Minnesota?
For the first time ever last summer.
Did you like it?
Yes, a lot. And I wish I would have dressed up.
Me too. That's my goal. Next time I go to the Renaissance Fair, I really want to dress up because the first time I went, which was in 2017, I didn't dress up. But.
I just want to look super hot and find a sword and just look hot.
And just like walk around with a sword, like get away and like swipe at the random pedestrians.
Like the hot. Yeah, the hot lesbians on TikTok with swords. That's what I want to be.
Yes! That is a great goal. You should just do that.
Are we both on sword talk? That's weird. I love it. Yes. Yeah.
Not heavily on sword talk, but I have seen it. I'm more on cat talk. But anywho. meow.
Same.
Yeah. A great thing that I did at the Renaissance Festival the first time I went is I saw a palm reader. Because I really wanted to prepare for my future, kind of like Hades. And you know what they said? I had a lot of questions about my career at that time. And I was like, so what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What's going to happen? And they were like, you are going to be known for your voice. Yeah. And this was 2017. We didn't start this podcast until 2018. I had no idea about this podcast until December 2017, which was quite a ways after this palm reading. And I mean, I don't know if I'm known, right? Like, this podcast is an indie podcast. We're not like famous. But I was like, that's still interesting that you said that. She also said a bunch of other things that I cannot remember anymore. Like, you should really record it if you ever get a palm reading done at the Renaissance Festival, because they just say a lot in a very short period of time.
I'm fascinated by this, and now I want to have a palm reading because there are other people in my lives who've gotten palm readings and they got a lot out of it. And I love the Fates. I think that I also love the Fates because he's a god. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he can't see the future, and so he needs these, like, three little old ladies, I guess.
Right.
To tell him what is going on. And he listens. Like, he shows them a lot of respect. I mean, it's backhanded, kind of, but they expect it from him because he's Hades, and he's just kind of this, like, bitter, gross man. And he's not necessarily gross, but he is kind of a dick.
Oh, yeah.
And then they speak in verse, and then Hercules is revealed to be, like, his downfall. Hercules is irritating. He's, like, the golden child of his golden child brother, and then everyone wants to help him for whatever reason, and he's pretty stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did he ever do?
I think the only reason why Phil agreed to help Hercules is because he's Zeus's kid. Because Zeus was like, you have to.
Yeah.
That's, like, the only reason.
Yeah, that's it. If Zeus, because the whole concept with, like, just a quick, like, diversion into other, like, Greek lore is, even in the Percy Jackson series, there's a concept of gods claiming their children. So, like, it's kind of a weird homage to that, which I thought was kind of cool. But, like, multiple series kind of do this thing where, like, if someone's a demigod, then their godparent will claim them in some way. I fucking love the Fates, and I love Pain and Panic. I love all the baddie characters on this. I love Pain and Panic because I love voice actors, and Bobcat Goldthwait does, I think, both of them, but for sure the little round one. And
yeah,
he just has such a distinctive voice, and it's so inherently comedic because that's just how he sounds too. Like, he sounds weird in general when he talks, because I've seen him do comedy stand-up before.
Yeah.
He just sounds weird. He has weird vocal tics, and he's super funny. But that voice that he does for Pain and Panic is just, because it sounds like he's being kicked.
Yeah.
When he's talking, which I think is really funny.
Joe and I did a mini episode on Pain and Panic quite a while ago. I don't know if it's still on our regular feed. We may have taken it off so that it's only available on the Patreon.
I think I listened to it a long time ago.
One of the things I remember we said was how it's interesting how you're named what your issue is. If you have, like, an issue,
oh, yeah,
like, I have generalized anxiety disorder. If I were, like, Pain and Panic, they would call me generalized anxiety disorder.
Anxiety.
Right? Like, everyone just knows.
My name is anxiety. My name is attention deficit.
Nice to meet you. So it's, like, not a secret. It's just really out in the open what mental health you might be dealing with, or what issue in general, like pain.
I wonder if that's, like, a weird play on the concept of, like, there are no secrets in death. Like, once you're dead, everything's there. So, like, you just are what you are, and you are what you were known for. I mean, they're imps, so they're not humans, or they're not humanoid. They're imps, technically. And so, like, the concept of the imps in general is that they do the bidding of the lord of the underworld. And, like, and the other thing is, too, is, like, Hades is not hell. There's no such thing as hell in this story. That's the other thing that I think people get really messed up on with this, is that they think that Hades is, like, the lord of hell, but Greek myth doesn't have a hell.
Right.
Greek myth just has Hades. It just has Tartarus, which is where he is the overlord of.
Yeah.
There's different areas or whatever, but, like, that's where all the dead people go. That's not just, like, the bad ones, because it's all gray and gross. It's,
yeah,
it's Urabata in the club listening to Muzak in line to get their ticket taken, you know?
Exactly.
I think that, I mean, not to get too deep, but it always just makes me think of, like, how Christian America is and how they think about everything in terms of the concept of heaven or hell. And
yeah,
anything having to do with dead people or, like, Hades or whatever has to do with hell. And I'm like,
He's not Satan. He's a dick, but he's not Satan.
No, he's not Satan. Yeah, he's not like, yeah. he's annoyed. And the reason he's jealous and like whatever is because he just has a lot of work to do. Like, and he's fair. He's just like, he's a dick to everyone.
I like the phrase, he's annoyed, not Satan.
Yeah. You know, duh. Common misconception. Are you annoyed or are you Satan today? Who knows?
Right.
Well, and that's the other thing with villains, too. I always think about Zeus is just so affable in the Disney version. He's just like so like, la, you know, but Hades, the one who's really busy and has a lot of work to do, is very irritated with everything all the time. And I'm like, and we've made that into a characteristic of a bad person. Like, if people are annoyed with things all the time, that person's terrible. Negative energy. Oh, my God, bringing down my vibes. But I'm like, people have space to be irritated. And I think I would be irritated if I were Hades, too, because his brother's just fucking off in the sky with his, like, super hot wife and his super cute kid. And, like, everybody came to his brother's party. You know what I mean? Bet you nobody was at Hades' birthday party.
Right.
Bet you nobody showed up. Bet you nobody knows when Hades' birthday is.
I don't even know when it is. Was he ever born? Well, yeah, I guess gods are born.
Hades is the weaker brother. They make allusions to it too, which I always find interesting from a sibling perspective, because there is always like a sibling that is the stronger sibling, and there's always a sibling that is like not as strong. And that's even true in Greek myth, is that Hades was the weaker sibling too. And so they make a lot of allusions to him not being as physically strong as his brother, but he's mentally more available than Zeus is. And he's extremely meticulous and, like, very detail-oriented. And, like, I don't think he's very straightforward with his plans. I will say that. Because, I mean, what a weird, convoluted scheme to sort of take over the world by, like, killing your brother's son, but sending your imps to do it, and then, like, not following up or checking in or, like, requiring some sort of, like, take a photo of the dead body. You know what I mean? Like, do something.
Yeah.
Bring an arm back. I don't know.
That's on the list of dumb things villains do. More than one. They like let their henchmen or hench beings, you know, do the dirty work, like do really important work. That's where things falter. That's where things get messed up. You should just do it yourself.
Yeah. Well, this is why Hades isn't the manager. This is why Hades is the cashier, is because he has not learned how to delegate appropriately and not how to trust but verify. You know, you got to trust your employees but verify the work is getting done.
Yes.
And that is why Hades is a cashier. I'm really going with this like middle management allegory type situation.
A fiery head cashier. That would be dope. I actually do want to talk about his fire head. I like it. Well, I have more to say than I like it.
I want to talk about it. Go ahead.
And it goes along with his anger, right? So like another reason why he's kind of villainous is because he is short-tempered, and you can tell when he's mad because the fire on his head gets bigger. Like, when he says a word, he's like, I own you. Then the fire just... I find it fascinating that not only can he not hide his anger because of his demeanor, but also because he can't hide the fire on his head. Like, you can tell he's angry because of the fire. Like, it just lets us know. And this maybe goes along with your other point about how everything is true in death. You see everything about a person in the underworld. And you see all of Hades' anger and all of his glory just at once in the underworld. I appreciate that there's theatrics with the anger that seem more entertaining and exuberant than like punching a wall. There's kind of some beauty in letting your anger and emotions become like a flame, both physically and metaphorically.
I love it. I just had a brainwave. I think also if I were Hades and everybody knew how I was feeling at any given point, without my consent, I can't control these flames, you know, on some level, like it's just happening. Like how some people really can't, like some people are blushers. They lose their little faces and they blush all the time. Like you can't control it. How annoyed would you be if everybody always knew how you felt every single moment of every single day?
You always know based on the level of flame and how he's feeling. And like, I don't want people to always know how I'm feeling. Like, I don't want to ruin the moment. I don't want you to know I'm angry. I just want to get over it and not have other people know about it.
Yeah. And then the sibling part of it, I don't know. The gods having siblings always, I just will never imagine having a sibling and then like they help take over the world, and then they look at you and they're like, yeah, you're in charge of death. Bye.
Right?
It's like no discussion, just all right.
Do you have any, it's okay if you don't, but do you have any stories of sibling rivalry that might be similar to like Hades and Zeus and their dynamic?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I, shockingly enough, would be the angry child. I had a lot of like oppositional aggression as a child. I was not a particularly docile child. And I am just under 2 years older than my younger sister. And she's the sibling that I'm closest to, and we're best friends. We have always been extremely close. I think it's really hard for parents to not put their kids against each other, especially when they're so close in age, especially when they're the same gender. We even have like similar sounding names, to be honest. And so Kirsten and I were sort of pitted, not pitted against each other, but we were supposed to be foils. We couldn't have overlapping features. We couldn't have overlapping personality traits. It was always about how different we are. But it's really hard to not have there be rivalry when you are not allowed to really be like each other. So you have to be different. So you have to be really good at the things that you're different at. So like I was in choir and theater and all of these other things. And Kirsten was a lot more athletic. Yeah. We are very similar now, but we are still very different. She's a lot more meticulous and she's a lot more like rigid, and she's a lot better executive function than I do. But like, we just didn't know I had ADHD as a kid. And that's like a legitimate thing. Like executive function for her, she learned it. She like can do it. She was also the one that was like, I was like the weird artsy one. And I'm like, this is not the actual situation. Like I'm not artsy, guys. I'm just gay. And like, you guys don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
It was also different because as we got older, Kirsten and my older sister, just being women in the world, the way that we look is very different. Like I'm just bigger. I'm a plus size person. And when we were younger, that was very obvious. And so like, there was a lot of conventionality. Like Kirsten unintentionally had like this Zeus quality to her because she was easier, I think. And then I was constantly irritated. I was just like, I had a lot of anger issues, which I still kind of do, you know, I'm working on it. I was constantly annoyed, which was my joke for a really long time. I was just like, I'm not actually mad. I'm just really irritated.
Like Hades.
Like Hades. I was never really mad. I was just always irritated. It's just like, why? Why do you have what you have?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do you get what you get? Why are things a lot easier for you that are very difficult for me? Why are like, and it just sort of like, maybe Hades is gay. That'd be great. You know?
Could be.
Maybe that's it.
Too bad we don't know. But yeah.
Not in this universe anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just very classic. Like, I think you have two female siblings that are like very close in age, but also very, very intelligent. So we moved past it. Like, we never participated in the competition part of it. We both were very aware of it, but it is really hard, I think, because your parents aren't inside of your head. Sibling rivalry and, like, that concept, I think, exists more outside, for us anyway, exists outside of your relationship than it does inside of the relationship, because it's how the other people are perceiving this relationship and this thing together. So,
right.
For us, the rivalry, there was, like, only about a year and a half where we really, truly hated each other's guts, but then we got over it, and that was in high school. She was dating every boy in my grade, and I was very annoyed. I was like, stop.
I can see that. But yeah, kind of a parallel with Zeus and Hades. Someone's the night, someone's the day.
Yeah. Which I always think is really, it's so strange and it's so reductive, but, like, I think with gods, it's funnier to be reductive because they're supposed to be more.
Yeah. I'm an only child, so I can't say much about sibling rivalry, except maybe the rivalry between myself and my imaginary friend and my cat.
I would like to hear more about that if I'm being really honest.
I'm just kidding. I mean, I would say that as an only child, but maybe like other people do this too, regardless of how many siblings you have, but maybe it would happen more so if you're in kind of a quiet household. Just growing up, and to this day, I kind of talk to myself a lot. Or it's like a conversation that goes on for hours. And it's not just like, basic thoughts or like vague thoughts. It's like talking in the head. Like, oh yeah, and then I thought about this. What do you think of that? Oh, I think that's great. Oh, I think that's kind of weird. Maybe I should watch this movie. Maybe, I don't think I should do that. But it's like a very explicit discussion rather than like vague thoughts that kind of go in and out of the head like they usually do. And sometimes, I've never told anyone this,
so
sometimes.
I also do that.
Keep okay. Going. Okay. So maybe I'm not so weird after all.
No, but what were you never going to tell anyone? I'm so intrigued.
So, okay. I will sometimes pretend that there's a friend of mine, like a real friend of mine, in my house or by me, and we'll have a discussion. But they're not actually there, but they, you know, have the personality and the look of my friend. And so they like react to me in the way that this friend really would, or as closely as I can get it. Is that weird?
I'm trying to think if I do that. No, I don't think it's weird. I think it means you have a lot of reverence for the people in your life, and also you're very close with them, so you're trying to like figure out how to have their impact on you even when they're not around. As long as it's being done in a healthy way, in a positive way, and not in like a negative, harmful way, I think it's definitely very, one, it's very sweet, and two, it's also just like a really high level of reverence for that person. But I was going to say, I know that I do a full conversation with myself in my head a lot, and I also have anxiety issues.
Yeah, maybe it's an anxiety thing. I don't know.
My anxiety leads to like a pretty significant level of trying to be anticipatory of the world around me in like a pretty controlling way. And so it'll be me like talking through my actions, which is so funny because it happens with like within seconds, because the other thing is like I'm pretty impulsive, and like it never looks like I think about anything that I'm doing. It looks like I'm just like a tornado in the world.
Yeah.
I know that I have these conversations in my head. Like, I'm thinking about it a lot.
You know, when you said tornado, it reminded me of one of Hades' monsters that emerges from the ground when the planets align. Like, there is a literal tornado. Maybe not then, but maybe earlier in the movie. I can't remember. But there is a tornado monster.
So, in the beginning, you see them, and then they come back at the end. So, those are the Titans. They're supposed to be the Titans, which Hades and Zeus and Hera and Athena and all of them are considered Olympians. That's why they live on Mount Olympus.
Right.
The Titans were supposed to have been what was before them. So they preceded the Olympians, and they are much more base in like their existence. So you have the tornado that's like the wind. This is what I thought was really interesting. Now that you bring that up, technically they are not Hades' monsters. They are what preceded him. They are forces that even he cannot control. So, like, him exerting the control that he did over them in the movie is very funny to me, because they are bigger than him. He is a more granular god than they are. They are a bigger entity and more powerful, and just, like, sheer largeness, because you even have, like, the Cyclope with his eye and whatever.
Yeah.
That's why I think Zeus is more like terrified of it, because Zeus knows that like fighting the Titans is a big fucking deal, and Hades is like, ha ha, the thing that could kill my brother is going to kill my brother.
And he was really strategic.
But then my thought process for this whole movie, and the thing that I always come back to at the end of it, is that he's stupid, because he released the one thing that could kill his brother, who is physically stronger than him in every way. What is going to happen to the Titans after they kill Zeus? What are they going to do? They're going to listen to you, Hades? No. So then you're just going to release the Titans on the world again and like not know how to control them, because you're so hellbent for election to not have your brother be like the middle manager of the world. I think, again, another thing to add to like the dumb things that villains do. You're going to release the only thing that could kill your brother. Your brother, who is vastly more powerful than you, vastly more tough than you physically, vastly more endurance and stamina and power and everything. And then you're like, yes, and then they will listen to me.
Yeah.
Because I released them and they care. Like, dude, they don't care. They don't give a fuck. They've been in a pit for eons.
Yeah, they're going to wreak havoc all over the world. Oh, I have a question for you that we can both answer.
Oh, yes.
To get ourselves in the shoes of Hades even more, I want to know, if you were Hades for a day, what would you do?
I would redecorate.
Okay. What'd you make it look like?
You know, just a few less rocks. Lighten it up a little bit. Maybe put in some skylights or something. I don't know. Like, we need a bit more natural light, I think. One, two, probably some more plants. I think we could get some plants to
if
grow
they
there.
Survive.
There's a lot of low light plants
there.
That would. There's some few that grow in the dark, I think. Maybe. I don't know. We can get some glow lights down there. Something. I think I would redecorate. I think, honestly, that man would do. Well, that god would do much, much better if he would just enjoy the space that he's in. Because maybe it would feel a little bit more comfortable. Get a nice car.
Get some lighting. Yeah.
Change the outfit. Like, get a suit. Get a flame cut. Get, you know, like, just.
Yeah.
I think he just needs to, like, pamper himself. You know, this is a very Taurus answer. And I know this is a very Taurus answer. But I think he just needs to, like, deeply redecorate and, like, deeply do some aggressive self-care. Because if he's trusting pain and panic to kill an infant, I think they can do whatever his job is in the underworld for, like, a week where he goes and gets, like, a facial, maybe a facelift or something, you know, just, like, pick it up.
And, like, the facial is, like, full of worm guts?
Yeah, something. I mean, I'm sure that's probably good for your skin. Who knows? Like, a snail slime facial, something. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think he just needs to, like, let him like himself for a minute, okay? Like, just accept that you're the cashier and just redecorate the place.
I like that.
What about you?
So this is maybe an average day that maybe I would go through as Hades. I would wake up and I would brush my teeth with worms. But actually, I'm not entirely sure if I would do that because, like, does he have to brush his teeth? Do his teeth rot as a god, or are they forever shiny and pointy as a god? I don't know. And maybe he doesn't need to please the souls with good breath. Then I would take the three-headed dogs for a walk. But they would kill some people on the street because they're monsters. So that's not good. Then I'd feed them some brain treats. And then, yeah, it would get boring watching the souls swim around in there, thinking about their, you know, past life regrets and moaning. And I'd be like, hey, guys, let's watch a movie instead. But then the souls would be like, we're dead. Can't watch a movie. Just have to swim forever. And then I'd eat a bagel made out of eyes. And then I'd go to bed. What do you think?
I think we took very different paths on the answer here, and I really appreciate it. Also,
yeah.
I think that you maybe made Hades grosser.
I know. But I like the grossness. I think it makes him a little interesting.
Yeah, I can't decide if, like, Hades is yucky. Like, people think he's, like, yucky. Because the Hades, like, the fates are yucky, and, like, the slime is yucky. Like, I can't. Yucky. Like, I just can't decide if I think he's yucky, because his, like...
I need to tell the audience, I need to tell the person listening that you're doing this, like, little wave with your hand, like, twice, like, two waves, like, when you say the word yucky. Yucky.
Like, icky.
Yucky.
Like, your little...
Icky.
Like, your little icky. Thingies are... Yeah. It's like a little...
He's yucky. He's yucky. That's going to be the name of the episode, probably. Hades is yucky. Just like that. That's going to be the name of the episode. Maybe.
Yes.
Who knows?
But is he, though? Because he's got, like, flames on his head. Are there, like, grubs anywhere? Like, I'm trying to figure out if he's yucky or if he's just desolate. Because everything is just rock and, like, blue and weird and dry.
Yeah.
But the souls are slimy, so they're yucky. Like, is death yucky, or is Hades yucky, or is it, like, just, is it just there? Also, I don't think his teeth rot. And also, that pointed teeth thing, big commitment aesthetically, I will say.
I know. Does he sharpen it, you know?
But he doesn't kill him. Like, that's what I think. It's just a weird look, because there's nothing about it that, he doesn't kill anyone. Hades isn't a murderer. That's not how that works. He's also not the Grim Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
Hades is not the Grim Reaper. He doesn't meet you.
Yeah, he just kind of greets you when it's your time.
Yeah, he's just around. He's just a doorman. It's fine. Like a manager of dead people who can't really think or do anything for themselves, making sure people go into the right rooms. He's like a He's like a front desk associate at a hotel at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that is his job. He's just making sure people get into the right rooms. Oh, you were good. Here you go. Fields of Elysium. Have a great time. But like, here's what Hades isn't. Hades isn't Satan. Okay. He's not mad at you. You didn't do a bad thing. And then he's there to spank you for eternity. That's not his job. Hades is not, he's not Zeus. He's not here to run anything big. Hades is not the Grim Reaper. He's not here to take your life. Hades is not a murderer. You know, he's not out here maliciously taking people's lives. People just die, and then they go see Hades, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Let it go. Maybe that's why he's annoyed. Maybe he's maligned among the living, and he's irritated about that. Everyone's like, everyone thinks I'm the fucking Grim Reaper, and I'm Satan. These motherfuckers are stupid. I'd be annoyed, too. Nobody knows what the fuck I do down here all day. You all think I kill people. Bitch, I'm busy. I have a huge dog.
Yeah. I'm busy. I have a huge dog. And I'm not yucky.
Not yucky. I'm not. It's yeah. just cold, okay? It's dark. It's underground.
And maybe his firehead kind of helps him burn off some of, like, the yucky bacteria that he might be around.
Yuck.
You know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, cleanses him in a way. The fire.
Why do you think he's slimy?
I didn't know he was.
I don't know. I feel like you think he's slimy.
He could be.
What bacteria is down there?
Dead people's?
This is for souls, Tiana. There's no bodies. Are you confused? Maybe. He's also not a mortician.
True. I don't know the texture of his body.
This is a pro-Hades podcast. We are unmaligning the god of death. He's just there for your... He's not even there for your soul, okay? He doesn't really give a shit if your soul doesn't come or not, because it's one less thing for him to deal with, I bet. He's just around.
Yeah, I actually don't know if he's... I don't know. I don't know the texture of his skin.
I know that there's rivers in Tartarus, and there's rocks. I think he just might have, like, skin.
Yeah. He doesn't get much vitamin D down there.
No, it's damp, maybe. But, like, what's he supposed to do? You know, he's not a fish.
Oh, but it might be really humid. Maybe that's why I think he's slimy. Because there's a lot of humidity in the air, because there's just a lot of water. Does that make sense?
I think we might have a fundamental disagreement about the yuckiness of Hades.
Well...
I think you think he's
yucky. If you
yucky.
Think Hades is yucky, or if you don't think Hades is yucky, go to our Instagram at NextDoorVillain and let us know.
I need to know if other people are on the same like train as you with like his like eating of eyeballs or grubs, because I'm like, because pain and panic turn into little worms at some point where they're like, we are worms.
Yeah.
I get it. So I'm just assuming that maybe you clung to that.
Well, there was a scene, a part where Hades is eating worms.
Wait. I do remember this.
Right?
Okay, Disney, Hades isn't yucky.
Yeah, you can still eat worms and not be yucky. But...
People do it everywhere.
Yeah, probably a good source of protein. Anywho, I have a poem to share with you.
Yes.
It's from the perspective of Hades. The souls in the river scream at me. Come in and swim with me, baby. I know they can't wait for my hot bod in the sweet-tasting river, oh life of a god. The souls scream up the black vines. Relax, I say, everything is fine. The worst is already done. Your untimely death, you chum. So souls, swim a while. There's nothing to lose. I try to tell them, try to smile. At least they keep me company. Beat slurping on worms uncomfortably. These souls are sweet cheeks and sweet freaks. Some died choking on suckers. Some died... Sorry. Just started picturing someone choking on a sucker.
Yucky.
I shouldn't laugh at that.
That would be yucky.
I shouldn't laugh at that. Some died choking on suckers. Okay.
Tiana, this is very serious.
Some died choking on suckers. Why? Why do I think that's so funny? I wrote it. I don't understand. Okay. Some died living with the suckers. Some died living with the suckers. Sometimes when they scream, I daydream. What it'd be like if I ruled Greece?
There'd be gothy moments and wild parties with skull donuts. Also, I'd be cooler than I am. Also, everyone might be dead souls, but I'd provide them with so much rad bread rolls. But here I am in the underworld. This isn't bad either, just the soul whirl. Don't be scared of death. In the end, you'll get to feel each other's breath. When swimming in the river and relaxing while seeing shimmers, don't be scared of being lovely swimmers and free. In the end, you get to hang with me. The end.
I love it. Thank you. I love it. I love it. Snaps. Because I do think that is something that Hades would say. In the end, you get to hang out with me. We're all winners here.
We're all winners. And I'd like to know what happens after death, right? And if someone was like, you get to be with Hades, I'd be like, yeah. Fuck yeah.
He's hilarious.
Okay. So now for our last segment, we get to rate the villain of Hades. What do you think we should use as like the five stars? Like five what?
I do like flame heads.
Okay. How many flame heads out of five do you rate Hades?
I think if I could get really granular about it, I'd give him a 4.25.
That's pretty good.
I think that you can be a baddie and also be maligned. And also be really funny. So I think villain complexity is really what does it for me. And I think that he is a complex villain. And there's complex themes, which makes sense because Greek stories are very complex in general. And they also tend to have reflections of humanistic issues in them. He's not yucky. 4.25 flame heads out of 5 flame heads.
Love it. I am going to give him 3 flame heads out of 5 flame heads. He's very entertaining. I would grab drinks with him. Be a fun night. You know, I'd sip a little skull death cocktail with him and laugh at the weird things he says. But it's not 5 because he didn't seem to have a clear plan on what he'd do after he took over the world / Greece, or rather, like, I didn't know about it. I don't know if he ever really thought about it because we never heard him say what he would do to the world or Greece after he took it over.
He just wanted it.
He just wanted it. But like, what would he do to it? Like, be a little more creative, you know? Have a better plan.
Don't release titans that could also defeat you.
Right. Exactly.
That would have been funny to me, I think, which is why I don't take that as a takeaway. I think it's hilarious. It's stupid.
Yeah. This has been a blast.
Yeah, I want to come back. Can I come back?
Of course.
This is lovely.
There's no rule.
We love fake rules.
There's no rule. Like, you can't come
I'm
back.
Actually banned. Joe's like, I don't like her.
Oh, no.
Joe's like, I'm never going to. Just, I can't.
Well, I'm also part of the podcast, so
we would like vote on it. I like the narrative we've built in our head. I like it. I like this fake fight that I'm causing. This brings me great. I'm actually Hades. I just want to cause fake fights.
Right. Fake fights. Fake scenarios of what Joe would think. Which, yeah. I don't think he minds. I don't know. You can't really read
probably
him sometimes.
Not.
Yeah. He'll probably listen to this and be like, what are they? Okay. Anywho, I think we've had a blast. Thank you, baddies, so much for listening. I didn't say this in the beginning because I forgot, but if you do want to connect with Caitlin, you can find her on social media. All of her social media accounts, username is at @capslockanddropit, and I'll put that in the episode notes so that you can find that. Feel free to follow Caitlin on social media. You won't regret it. And feel free to follow us, Next Door Villain, on social media, Instagram, Twitter at Next Door Villain, and then TikTok at Next Door Villain Podcast. Rate us, connect with us. We love to hear from listeners, aka baddies. You are the best. Thank you so much for your support. And thank you, Caitlin, for being on.
Oh, hell yeah. I love talking about my favorite car salesman in the world.
Right? Hades, the not yucky god.
Not yucky.
Not yucky. All right. Stay villainous, everyone.
Bye.